Hi, y'all. So something I really appreciated from this week's readings was some of the strategies and tips it gave for teaching STEM. I really liked the STEAM scorecard from the Padilla Peña Fong reading about culturally responsive curriculum and teaching in the STEAM classroom. Especially because I think a lot of times when we're talking about culturally responsive teaching or curriculum, there's a big focus on language arts and social studies. But I thought this scorecard gave a lot of really great concrete ways to create more culturally responsive lessons for the STEAM classroom. One of the things that they outlined in the card that stuck out to me was it said, curriculum highlights and affirms the knowledge systems of indigenous, Black/African, brown, and non-Western conceptions of science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And then it said, such as interdependence, sustainability, and continual change. And whenever I was reading over that, it made me think a lot about how different the ways I've learned about STEM, specifically environmental science, how different it was at my high school versus here at SWAT. So I was thinking in my environmental science class in high school, we talked about sustainability, but we never talked about practices that were specifically, or at least that were recognized in the class as being from non-Western conceptions of science and environmental science. I remember we spent a whole week just on all of the things Elon Musk was doing for environmental science. But then whenever oh, and another thing I was thinking about is all of the books we read in the class were written by white authors. I actually went back and checked, and every single one was from a white author. But at SWAT, I took one environmental science class called Our Food, and we talked a lot about sustainability practices, specifically sustainable food practices from non-Western communities. We focused a lot specifically on indigenous practices and Black and African practices. But I think that kind of seeing what a class looks like that was so different from that I took in high school that was definitely not culturally responsive. I think hearing the things in the STEAM scorecard laid out for me really helped me see the differences between the classes I took in high school versus some of the ones I have at SWAT, and how I could maybe inch away from what I was used to in my own K-12 experience and towards more culturally responsive curriculum. And then there were also some other things on the scorecard that I thought were really good that I've seen other teachers use. Like guidance is provided on planning opportunities for students to create and teach lessons to their peers. I had one teaching mentor in a summer program I did where I was teaching a science class, and she recommended that I have each of my students teach a lesson to their peers on something they were interested in. We were talking about viruses and disease and all that stuff. And she recommended that I have each child teach a lesson. So I had them do that, and it was really interesting to see all of the different things that they chose, how much pride all of the students took in their lessons, and how personal they were. I had one child who had sickle cell disease, and he gave a whole presentation on what sickle cell was and some of the innovations that people have come up with for treating sickle cell. I had another student who went into a whole thing about how about, I think, yeah, it was the flu vaccine. She was really interested in the flu vaccine, and she got to teach her students about it, so, or her peers about it, so I thought that was really cool. And the thing on the scorecard was incorporating the arts as a tool, to center experiences within the STEM, within STEM and innovation. And one thing that same teaching mentor had me do was, have the kids make comics about the things we were learning about, and that was also really awesome, and it was great to see how into it the kids got. And these are just things that I never really did whenever I was a K through 12 student, but it's been really interesting to see how well I've seen kids respond to it, and how well I responded to it whenever I got into college. And the other thing from this reading that has kind of stuck with me was the idea that all teachers are literacy teachers, which is something I've definitely heard before, but I guess hearing it in this reading kind of got me thinking about how much I've been seeing it in my placement. So I know I'm with kindergarten and first grade ELL students right now. All of the students my teacher has are classified as ELL, and they do a lot of reading nonfiction about science topics that the kids are interested in. My kids right now, they're really interested in animals, so it's been a lot of animal nonfiction reading. They do a lot of lessons on vocabulary terms that relate to experiments. So they go over the vocabulary that you might find in an experiment, then do the experiments using those vocabulary terms. In social studies, they're doing a lot of, they're not just, you know, learning about the topics, they're doing a lot of writing with it, drawing pictures about it, talking about the topics or presenting them with their peers. In math, they do a lot of writing math stories. This isn't something I've seen in my own placement, but I've heard other people in the class talk about how they've seen math vocabulary lessons. And that was really interesting to me with the WIDA test, because the WIDA reading section test for the first grade, the first grade one that was up there, one of them asked students to select a number sentence on a story. So the question was, Matt feeds the chickens, there are 4 chickens, then 3 more chickens come to eat, now there are 7 chickens. Which number sentence represents that story? And the test wants them to select 4 + 3 = 7. And I just thought that was really interesting, because it really shows that the literacy skills they want from kids spreads across the content areas. And it's, you know, these tests are more about just seeing if kids can decode words or comprehend sentences. It really requires a lot of deep content knowledge. Yeah. So I guess that's what I was thinking about this week.